Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Kelly Clarkson, and this is Miss Into Podcast.
The Kelly Clarkson Fan Podcast, talking all things Kelly, and to you.
Here is Jeremy and Pam.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Miss Into Podcast, the Kelly Clarkson Fan Podcast. I'm Jeremy.
And my name is Pam. Today, we are returning to our roundtable series where we bring on some other Kelly fans and we just speak our minds. We say our opinions. And today we're going to be talking about the Piece by Piece album, which came out in March of 2015, which was 9 years ago, which is ridiculous because I know exactly where I was when the album came out. I remember listening in my car with the CD, and it's just, I'm like, that was almost a decade ago. So we thought, let's have a little trip down memory lane.
Oh man, I'm so excited to talk about this album. I'm worried that we're not going to be able to fill like an hour's worth of podcast talking about it because it is such a polarizing album with fans. You know, there's a lot of people out there who have great love for it, and there's others who just, you know, if they could boot it out of their house, they would. I'm looking forward to seeing what our guests have to say about this particular album today. And I think we're going to get, you know, some of the hottest of hot takes.
So I'm super excited and I'm super intrigued for what our guests are going to share with us today.
We want to welcome to the show our three guests today for our Piece by Piece roundtable. It's Chris, David, and Johnny. Fellas, hello. Thanks for being here.
Hello.
Hi, guys. David, I think we met for about 30 seconds, right?
We did. We stood near each other in line in New York when we were at Barnes & Noble. You were like three people behind me-ish.
I don't know how I acted because because I feel like I just blacked out that whole week. So I was like, I hope I actually was like nice or like conversational.
You were very nice.
Okay.
Yes.
Because again, it was all a blur. No, for real. Like that entire week, I was like, it was kind of like, I don't know what the hell's going on. So I want to say a proper hello. It's great to really meet you. And I'm excited for us to talk for more than 30 seconds.
For sure. If I'm being honest, it was like looking from the outside in, I could tell that like Miss Into Podcast was like the quote unquote fame of it was getting to you because like you being in that line, everybody was wanting to say hi and hug you and take a picture with you.
Yeah, and I was like, what the fuck? I'm just Pam. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. So I was like, I'm just like this girl who's showing up. Anyway, I don't want to make this about me, but yeah.
No. But like,
I was very overwhelmed.
But I saw that, yeah.
So, David, I know you were at the New York signing, but where are you from?
Oh, I'm in Atlanta.
You're in Atlanta. Oh, wow. So you flew up for that.
Yeah. So, and actually, when I went to New York, I was there for less than 48 hours. So it was even like a real trip. And I was there for like half a day before that day. And then I saw Kelly, me and Megan, I know like she's big on, Twitter and everything. Me and Megan and her husband, Chris, went and got tacos at the place around the corner.
Nice.
And then I went straight to the airport.
Oh my God. Wow. You know what? I know a lot of fans who were in the same boat. And I'm like, you know what? Screw it.
Pam, I'm doing my first New York trip, a real one, this coming April, like the 25th through the 29th. 4 days that Kelly is not doing the talk show. I know, screw me.
Oh,
but I'm very excited. Yes.
Oh,
that's
man.
Great. You're gonna love New York.
Have a great time.
It's so much fun.
April, hopefully, should be good weather. You never know, but you're gonna have a blast. Well, great. Thanks for joining us, Johnny. Nice to meet you. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? When did you become a fan?
Oh man! First of all, I've never been more prepared for anything in my entire life. I'm in LA. I lived in New York for 4 years.
Oh, nice.
I miss it so much. I'm from the Bay Area. Out here in LA, I've gotten to see Kelly's show twice. I was there for Christina Ricci, who's my favorite actor, and for Pink. And somehow I got to sit front row. You can see me a lot in the shots. I'm wearing pink pants. Kelly's back is turned towards me and the guitar player. I forget his name.
Kelly's or Pink's?
Pink's.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, and but you can see me a lot, and like my foot is shaking just because I'm just like hella into it. But I became a fan. I can proudly say I became a fan during American Idol. I missed the whole like craze of it while it was really lit, and I remember hearing a lot of my cousins talking about they love Tamyra. And I saw a TV guide where it was like Ryan, Jim, and I think it was Tamyra. that were on the cover, and I was like, these kids are becoming famous overnight. That's crazy. And then I saw the top three, and it was Nikki, Justin, and Kelly singing together. And I was like, wow, they kind of sound horrible. Their harmony is terrible right now. And then I saw Kelly sing Without You, and I was like, whoa, who the hell is this girl? And then the finale, the girl sang It's in His Kiss as part of the opening of their group performance. And it started off with Ryan, and they went the order of elimination, their solo performances. And then Kelly came on, and I was like, that's my girl. She chose me. And it was really like her personality that like everybody says, her personality is what really like got me. Her smile was so infectious, and I just loved her, and I've just followed her like a psychotic fan the entire way ever since. Like, I love Kelly the same way she loves Meryl and Mariah and Patty Griffin and Reba and all of them. And so
that's awesome.
You are in good company here. And that's, also yes. So cool that you saw the Pink Songs and Stories. That is
that's awesome.
So cool.
It's funny because my cousin and I got there super early, and then, you know, they don't see in order of where you guys get there. And we were kind of upset, but I was like, you know what? God knows what he's doing. He's gonna take care of us wherever we sit. It's gonna be a good seat. And we ended up being in front row. We were like, what the hell is happening?
That's like historic. Good for you.
I'll say that's an I was there moment. Yeah, that's very cool.
Also, one thing real quick before the interview begins, Jeremy and Pam, I just wanna say how proud I am of you two. I was on the Express when I think Jeremy was the one who was saying that we're starting this Kelly Clarkson podcast. And I was like, what the fuck? What? What are you guys going to talk about? And then, but I tuned in. I've been listening ever since. And just the way you guys have leveled up and evolved and have gotten like the band and Kelly herself on the show. What? And I've been listening from the beginning. Jeremy, I was at the independent store too when the Claymates were who riding. And
thank you so much.
Yeah, I was at the San Jose one too, where they sang, she sang Breakaway. But I'm very proud of you guys, and I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you so much. Thanks, that's so sweet. I'm gonna like start crying right now. I really appreciate it. Also, that's Kelly has the hat you're wearing, right?
I was hoping somebody would notice that. Yeah.
Okay.
That's great.
I love it. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us. And last but not least, we have Chris. Now, Chris, you have a wild story. First, you know, introduce yourself, but then like really introduce yourself.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm Chris, huge Kelly fan. I've seen her live like almost 20 times now. I now live in New York, but I grew up in Hong Kong. So I did not have American Idol, but Miss Independent was huge. So my sister bought the Thankful album. And so we were listening to her from then on. So there we go. But yes, I did work for RCA Records for about 7 years.
Which we didn't know when we were doing outreach. I'm just like, who's available and tomorrow? And not only did you work at RCA, but you worked at RCA when the Piece by Piece album was out.
I did. Yes. So I joined kind of at the tail end of 2015. Okay. So I was there for the whole Piece by Piece single release, like the initial single release that failed. And then the resurgence with the Idol performance. I actually got to find some stems for Jason for the Idol performance as well. Helped coordinate the remix album. So yeah, my hand was in there. I wasn't role, but I was in there.
Do you want to hear about that at some point today? That's incredible. That's so cool that I can guarantee no other fan has that story.
Well, that's awesome. Well, guys, we're all really excited to have you with us today. Today we are doing a roundtable episode all about the Piece by Piece album. And it's an album that is, first and foremost, it's now been 9 years since this record came out.
Well, also, just to point out, like, the reason why I thought about doing this specifically is that it came out in March, and this is going to be coming out in March. So I was like, what? I mean, yes, we could have waited till next year, but like, whatever. We'll do something else next year. What a way to celebrate the 9-year anniversary with just talking about it.
Yeah. And this is definitely an album that has its detractors, and it has its mega fans, and then a bunch of people in the middle. So we're very interested to hear what everyone's perspectives are on this album and just the legacy of it afterwards, and whether, you know, you feel differently about it now than you did 9 years ago when you first got it. And we're going to cover all the bases of the album. So with that, I guess I want to get the roundtable sort of started with everybody. And I want to talk about, first and foremost, sort of from a 30,000 foot view of this album, where does it rank for you among Kelly's albums? I know we're starting off with a little bit of a controversial question.
We're seeing a lot of funny faces right now, which I'm super excited for.
So, David, I think we want to start with you on this one. Your opinions on where this album ranks.
If I'm being honest, I'd probably say somewhere near smack dab in the middle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not my favorite, but it's not my least favorite either. But I'm probably that fan that I have not gone through and ranked all the albums yet. I don't know. Like, it's just never occurred to me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like ranking your children.
Right. Although, but like, if I'm being honest, Chemistry probably is top one right now still. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, probably somewhere in the middle. Okay. Yeah, that's my answer.
Johnny, what about you?
Well, it's funny you asked that, Jeremy. Well, like most Kelly fans, I feel like for me, automatically my mind goes, first of all, I love every single one of Kelly's albums. There's not one album that I don't love. And so when I say it's at the near the bottom, I mean that, you know. And so that's where my mind automatically goes, because I think of it like sonically, it's her most like cohesive. I feel like it's her safest album. I know there was talk like that she was just over RCA at that point. She was just ready, like, here's my final album so I can get out of the contract. But last year, after I listened to Chemistry for like a month straight, I was like, I want to go back for fun and listen to every single one of her albums, point out her strong songs, her low points, and just rank her albums. And I was pleasantly surprised with Piece by Piece, how much I loved it. It definitely sounds better from beginning to end than when you play it like on shuffle. And I think it's a great album. There's things that I remember about the album that are not my favorite. For one, her vocals during that time were not at their strongest due to her pregnancy, and so that was one thing that kind of deters me from it. But also, like, I think about her tour outfits during that time, which were not my favorite.
No.
But overall, I think it's a good album. It's just it's not one of my favorites, but I gave it an 8 out of 10 when I was ranking it.
That's good. That's really good.
Yeah, last thing I would say, lyrically, I think it's a great album. Some of the production on some of the songs, it's what kind of knocks it a few points off.
Fair enough. Yeah. All right, Chris.
Yes.
Your thoughts on this record?
I'm pretty much on the same page as Johnny. It is definitely near the bottom of the ranking, but I do love all the albums, so that doesn't mean it's a bad album at all. I think there's no bad song on it, but I wouldn't list any of these songs in my like top five or maybe even top 10 Kelly songs. So that's probably why. But as a project, it is a nice listen, like from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Johnny, I think it's really interesting because I never thought of it this way. You were like, yeah, it's actually like really cohesive. I'm like, I don't think it is at all. But there's no right or wrong answer, obviously. It's all opinion based. I feel like it's like all over the place. I feel like it's definitely a bit more like on the very pop, a little dancey. So that's where it comes in. But then there's like Run, Run, Run and Someone. And I don't really know where I'm getting at with this. I've definitely have shared my thoughts on this album. It's probably my least favorite, but again, it's still a Kelly Clarkson album. I'm still gonna love it. It's just in comparison to all the rest, I'm like, maybe not. So I don't know.
A great road trip album for sure.
Interesting.
I haven't done a road trip in God knows how long. So interesting. Okay.
It's been a hot minute since I've actually sat down and listened to the album front to back in sequential order. So I'm gonna take your advice on that, Johnny, and do that, because for me, this album is probably, I would say, it's her most experimental album. I mean, if there is such a thing as having,
you think so?
an experimental Kelly Clarkson album, it's just, for me, it's the one that sort of deviates from her core sound the most, because I mean, I know there's people out there who love Take You High. But for me, I know, Pam, you're one of them. But for me, that is so far from center from what I'm used to from her. even when it comes to like an upbeat dance song, which is what I think of when I hear Dance With Me, or your average, and average I don't mean like rating wise, but your run of the mill Kelly Clarkson ballad, you know, I think of Someone, or, you know, to a, maybe a lesser extent, Run, 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 just because of the duet of it all. But there is some good, like, normal things that you would expect from her on this album, but then you get some other songs that are just a little off of center, more so than we're used to. You know, like Breakaway is like pop rock right down the middle. Like every song is consistent. And I know it's very much apples to oranges to compare Breakaway to Piece by Piece, but this song for me is, or this album rather for me is just, it's a little, it's probably her most chaotic album. I'll say that for me.
I have the list of all of Kelly's albums and I want to change my answer.
Oh,
I think okay. It is towards the bottom for me, actually.
We don't want to influence you by any means.
But I was like, in my head, I'm trying to like, because again, I've never ranked them. And last year I was going through like buying each actual CD of each album. And so I was going through, I was like, wait, so which, hang on. I think it actually might be towards the bottom. I said towards the middle because it is kind of mid, not in a bad way. Of course, it's still great. But I mean, like, again, as you all basically said too, there's no like great songs off of it. But I'm looking at the list. I'm like, there's not too many that I would put under it. As far as I said middle at first, I'm like, there's not too many I'd put under it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
No, yeah. I mean, I change my answers to things all the time. And I think it just depends on what mood you're in, what place in your life you are. So you can change your answer for a third time if you like. Later on in the episode, you're more than welcome to. So that being said, I'm curious for each of you, what is your favorite song from the album? Chris, we'll start with you.
Okay. My favorite song is Tightrope. And specifically the live version of Tightrope. Yep. It is so beautiful. I think it is up there with one of Kelly's maybe best ballads. And that is one I never get sick of.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that one.
Can I make a weird statement? I love it, but I always forget it exists.
Really?
I do. I know. It's like really good and people love it and I love it. But then I'm just like, oh yeah, Tightrope. That's a song. I don't know. Anyway, Johnny, what about you?
It's funny. I love Tightrope as well. The live version. I was not a fan of the album version. It was good. But then when I heard the live version, I was like, that's what it was supposed to sound like. It's funny, Jeremy, you say that it's her most experimental album. Like I said, it's her safest album for me, even more safe than All I Ever Wanted for me personally. But my favorite song on this album would have to be, just like Jesse Collins says, Someone. I love that song. It's so like beautiful and sad. And her voice has this like slight rasp to it, if you really listen. And it's so pretty and poetic. And just, that's my favorite one. I do love Piece by Piece. Hot take. I love the album version more than the idol version. You too. I remember.
And Chris. All right.
Yes.
Wow.
And I'm going to have to give it to, I believe Jeremy, you're not a fan of Nostalgic, but that's.
No, I like Nostalgic. I like it just fine. There's some others on here that are a little rough for me.
Those are my
I like Nostalgic. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's cute. I think my favorite, which is like no one else's favorite, is Bad Reputation. I don't know why. I just think
love
she's
that
so,
one.
So yeah, that's
good
great.
On it. It's so good. No one ever talks about it. I don't think she's ever performed it live to my knowledge. I don't think at least.
When I was listening to the album all the way through, and I say it's set, when it's most cohesive to me, I love Bad Reputation because that comes out of left field for me.
Yes.
She comes in and she just
like, she growls.
Yes. Yes.
I'm just like, ooh, she's feisty.
Yeah.
David,
what about you?
So my absolute favorite on the whole album has to be Dance With Me.
Jeremy.
Pam, what is that? Jeremy,
no. Look, I was looking at Jeremy to be like, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, no, that's my vote for favorite as well.
Oh, really? Okay. So I recently just went to Costa Rica a couple weeks ago for a retreat, and the last night we did a dance party. And Pam, you got to see it in person, but I actually have a Kelly Clarkson tattoo. It's like, ah, Kelly Clarkson.
Yes.
And
that's funny.
So the whole retreat, everybody kept like calling me Kelly Clarkson because like, I don't know. So like they knew like I was a big fan or whatever. And so it became like a running joke. And so at the dance party at the second to last night, one of my friends came up and he was like, David, you have to go up and make them play a Kelly song. You know that, right? I was like, but I can't do it. You have to go. Like, it makes sense for me. You have to go ask them. Anyway, so they was like, all right, but what song? I was like, ooh, do Dance With Me. Yeah, and they played that because it was a big dance party and like everybody actually loved it and like nobody had heard it. Yeah.
That's the beauty of it. It was so good. That's nice. Yeah. While it's not my absolute, I don't dislike it. It's not my favorite, but I think it is like so, it can be so infectious.
Mm. And it's, I would like, say Second Wind is a second favorite.
Yes. Ooh. Mm. You and I, David, we're right on the same track. And that actually, you know, kind of leads us into our next question, because this is sort of the first time that we've really discussed them. But I want to talk about the deluxe songs on this album. And I can kind of start going down that road because, yes, for me, and you guys haven't heard this yet because we haven't put the episode out when we recorded this, but we did an episode last week where we were kind of doing, for lack of a better term, and Pam is actually the one that put this in my head, and now I can't get it out. We did sort of an F, Mary, kill when it comes to Kelly songs from each record. And so when we were talking about, you know, sort of our favorite songs from Piece by Piece, I said, you know, Dance With Me is my favorite song, but like a 1A would be Second Wind. And we kind of got into the conversation about the deluxe songs on this particular album. And for my money, these are probably the best, if not maybe number two, when it comes to deluxe songs that have been offered on a Kelly album. Even though it's just the mighty three of them, they are really, really good when it comes to songs that have been just thrown on in a deluxe edition. Because a lot of times when you buy an album, the deluxe tracks are sort of the throwaway songs. They recorded them. They'd kind of like to put them out, but they're not going to be heartbroken if they don't. So they put them out on a deluxe, back in the day, they would be a B-side.
Can you list the three songs for our listeners?
So the three songs that are the deluxes are is Bad Reputation, In the Blue, and Second Wind, in that order. And I feel like there's not a skip amongst them. So, Johnny, let's start with you. Thoughts on like just the deluxe tracks on this album as a whole?
Love all three of them. I feel like I've said at one point all three of them were my favorite song on the album. At one point, it always changes. Mm-hmm. Out of those three, Second Wind is my favorite. Bad Reputation is so good. In the Blue, I really love In the Blue, and this is going to be a hot take, but the production on that one kind of hinders it a little bit for me. It's that, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's that constant beat that's in the verse and in the chorus. It's I can't describe it. It's almost like drums kind
of. Is it like too loud?
No, it's just too inconsistent for me. I feel like if it wasn't there, I would have loved it a whole lot more. Or if it was like, if In the Blue was like a nice, beautiful, like smooth ballad, I would have loved it even more. But I do love this song a lot. I listen to it. I never skip it. And so I agree that those are probably the three strongest. What are they called again? My brain is
leaking. Deluxe.
Bonus.
The bonus track, the deluxe track. Three strongest deluxe. I'm not going to get into chemistry right now, but yeah.
David, what about you?
I'm kind of the opposite of Johnny in the sense of In the Blue is one of my least favorite on the whole album. I could have done without it being made. I mean, I do like it, sure, but like if it was never made, like I'm not missing it. But Bad Reputation is probably my third favorite song on the whole album, behind Second Wind and then Dance With Me. So Second Wind and Bad Reputation are phenomenal, perfect songs, could not be touched. In the Blue is just, I don't know, it's okay to me. I don't know. It fits well as being the last song.
I feel that. Before we get to Chris, I do want to preface, I know some people are going to say, well, Piece by Piece, the idol version, is also considered a deluxe track because they did reissue the deluxe edition with that on it. We're obviously talking about the original deluxe version with just the three added songs. So with that, Chris, what are your thoughts on the deluxe?
Okay, so I love all three of them, and I think they deserve to be on the album more than some of the tracks that made it on, to be honest.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In the Blue is my favorite of them all, and actually is definitely up there on the album for me. And I think my heart stopped a little bit when they announced that she was going to perform it on the Kelly Clarkson show that time, and that performance was absolutely beautiful. And I also think Second Wind could have been a single, which I assume we're going to get to that, but...
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You know, it's funny. I had the opportunity to meet Maren Morris, who was a writer on Second Wind. And I was, you know, when you're in a meet and greet with somebody, you know, when you're standing there in line and you're waiting to talk to somebody, you kind of sit there and think, what am I going to say to this person? You know, what am I going to do to not make myself look like a psychopath or, you know, make a fool of myself? And the only thing I could think about was to talk to her about the song that Kelly Clarkson recorded of hers. Much like when the one time that I met Ryan Tedder, all I could talk to him about was Already Gone, and I even had him sign my single of it. So, I mean, I've had more awkward encounters with other songwriters that Kelly's worked with. But I wanted to tell Maren that, you know, I really love the version that she did on her Hero album. But I said, I also really, really love Kelly Clarkson's version. And I said, I love both versions equally. Lying. But either way, I still wanted to just give her props. And she was, you know, very complimentary. She said she loves the song. And she, you know, I've seen her a couple of times in concert, and she plays it in concert. And it's sort of nice because I feel like I'm in on like a secret, or I'm in on a private joke that not many people know about, knowing full well that there's this other, I'm going to be honest, superior version of that song out there somewhere. But Maren's the one who really kind of gets the mileage out of it.
Yeah, no, 1,000%.
Was it a single for her?
It was not an official single off of Hero. No, it's just an album track. But she doesn't have a ton of records. She's got like 4 now, I think. But she gladly plays it in concert, and always gets a good reaction.
Okay. Real quick, your story with Maren reminds me. I met Chris Daughtry sometime last year, and all I could talk about was One More Yesterday.
Did you have any clue what it was?
No, I tried not to make it seem like I was such a super fan of Kelly. So I was like, Daughtry, I'm such a fan of yours, man. And then, because I appreciate his music, but all I could think of was, I was just like, you recorded a song with Kelly that never made it out. He's like, oh, yeah, One More Yesterday. I was like, yes, that was so good, man. I wanted to get into more of it, but I was at work and I wasn't supposed to be talking to him anyways.
You know what? Ask for forgiveness after. You were polite about it, and I think you're actually very clever about it, not be like, hey, I love the demo that you recorded with Kelly Clarkson. Uh-huh. I think that was very, very smart of you. So good job.
Pam, did we get your thoughts on the bonus?
I don't remember, but I'll say it. I don't think so. Bad Reputation, as I said, I adore. Second Wind, I adore. In the Blue, I do like. I think In the Blue is kind of in like the middle for me in terms of like where it ranks on the album. I love the Sunday, however it goes. It's a little bizarre, yeah. But I love it. And yeah, I just don't understand why that these were the deluxe songs, because they are better than most of the regular album. I'm sorry. But at least they're like on Spotify, because once in a while you'll get, or like on like Apple, because once in a while you'll get these like bonus tracks, deluxe tracks, Japanese exclusive tracks that are nowhere to be found except for YouTube. So I'm very glad at least that like the general public can at least hear them. Mm-hmm. So, but that being said, so Jeremy alluded to this a little bit, and I definitely want to hear from Chris. I'm going to ask you for some extensive questions, so you're probably going to go last. I would love to talk about Piece by Piece, the song. So for those who are not aware, there are 3 versions of the song, technically. There's the original that's on the album. It's like very poppy. Personally, it's my favorite. I just love like the beat to it. And then they very quickly recorded the Idol version that she performed on American Idol. It was a very quick turnaround time, and they went in the studio and did a really beautiful, heartbreaking but beautiful ballad. And then there's a 3rd version, which I don't know why it exists. And it's what is used in the music video, which is like a remix, I guess. I don't listen to it. I would just love to hear anyone's thoughts on the versions, good, bad, middle of the road. David, let's start with you.
I've never personally connected with that song. I mean, don't get me wrong, my childhood is traumatic by, you know, any standard. But I don't know, like, it's a nice song. And when she did it on American Idol, you know, I felt, you know, like, I teary-eyed just like everybody else. But I don't know, I'd never loved it, never hated it. Like, it was a nice song. But I think I might be the only one that likes the more upbeat music video version.
Oh, no, I love this. Because I've literally never met anyone. So I'm like, okay, someone to prove me wrong. It's good. Yeah. It's nice.
There are people out there that like that one. But I mean, yeah, it's a nice song. But I don't know. Like, I feel like because of the tone of the song, it adds to it to give it a little bit more of a beat. Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. Johnny, what about you?
So I was going to say, with the remix, what the hell were they thinking? But
it's a safe space. It's a safe space. We respect everyone's opinion here.
I love that. Loves that version.
Yeah, and we're not even getting into the remix album. We're just going to purely talk about these versions here.
And don't even get me started about that healed version she did in Vegas.
Oh, well, that we are going to talk about.
We're going to get you started eventually.
Yeah, okay. So about the version, the reason why I love the album version so much is because with the drums and the percussions and just the way she's singing it, it sounds like she's on a journey for me. And she's like on a like an uphill battle, and she's just like fighting through it. And then once the chorus hits, it sounds like a symphony to me. And she's like free, and it's just so perfect, and I love it. With the Idol version, of course, I loved it just as much as everybody else did, but I also saw her sing it on tour prior to that. And so when it came out on TV, it was kind of just like old news for me while everybody else was just finding out about it. How everybody was late to Kelly, like they always bought it. But I love those versions. I'm glad that she's done a healed version. And I love that I could still listen to the album version without like cringing, thinking about what's his face.
Mm-hmm. And I think you just brought up a good point, because so the Piece by Piece tour was like summer of 2015, and the Idol performance was, I think, like winter, spring of 2016. And what was really interesting is that for the first maybe two or three tour dates, which I went to the first and the third show, just because they happened to be on the East Coast near me, she performed the album version. And that was like a rarity. And then very quickly turned into the what we know as the Idol version. But you're right. Fans who were following that tour, whether they were there or watching it on YouTube, it was, for me, I was just happy to see it on American Idol because it was like nostalgic. The show's, quote, ending. And it's like very full circle, blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't like a new performance for us. It was, so you're right. It was more just like a wake up call for America.
And it wasn't even a new thing for us to see her break down in that song, because she had a hard time in the initial dates of the Piece by Piece tour getting through that song. And it reminds me of, and I'm not trying to be self-serving here, but there's context to it. When she was first putting out the record and she put out sort of some hints to some of the lyrics on her website at the time, she said, you know, write in and tell us what you think about these lyrics. And then she answered some people. I've talked about this on the podcast before, where she answered one of my comments about Piece by Piece. And the quote that she said was, "I relate and I'm sorry, because no matter what, there's just a pain that comes with not having a parent around. Our stories are so common, and that makes me sad. I wrote this song in about 45 minutes. It needed to come out. I don't know how I'll sing it live, but the song has become an important part of my story." And then she goes on to say something else. But, you know, when you think about the fact that she did write it so quickly and that it has evolved over time, I have to say that I was shocked that she actually performed it in Las Vegas, but that I love that it sort of now is going to have this new life. And I don't know if you guys have heard this or if you guys listened to the Kelly Clarkson
Connection. I was not getting into this yet. That was going to be our next point.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No.
Go ahead.
Because Chris needs to tell us about his whole story about Idol.
Yes.
And
then we'll come back to the.
I was like,
we'll come back to that.
We're not bringing that up yet.
yes. All right, Chris, share your thoughts on Piece by Piece.
For sure. So I also prefer the album version. I think there's a drive to it, and there's a euphoria to it. And that's missing from the remix. I remember being at the label and getting the copy of the radio mix. And I was like, what? Who decided to do this? And I was still in a very junior position, so I didn't have any power to say anything, but I was fuming because I also helped kind of send it out to radio and stuff. And I was like, this is not going to do well. So yes, I just pretend that version doesn't exist, as most fans do, I think. I do like the idol version, but I almost wish there was a version that combined the two. Like, it kind of started off acoustic and then builds into this full band euphoric thing at the end. I mean, maybe if she re-records the healed version, it can be that way. But yeah, that's always been my wish for this song.
If you could give a brief without like divulging too much, can you just talk about your involvement on the idol version?
Yeah, so, well, it was, I remember at the label, it was just all hands on deck when they saw all the attention that the performance got overnight. So I remember hearing about people telling them that they need to go straight to the studio, like this needs to come out immediately. I remember getting the files and sending it straight to mastering and like all, it was just all hands on deck craziness. I was doing music distribution at the time, so I was basically doing file management. So I was getting the raw mixes and sending them to mastering and getting the right versions out to Spotify, etc. So I got to play in that. And then with the idol performance, so a few weeks before that, Jason reached out to one of my colleagues to get some stems from across all the singles.
Can you explain what stems are for people?
Yes. So stems are the individual like instrument and vocal files of a song, essentially. So he was asking, for example, for things like the guitar from Walk Away, the drums from Catch My Breath. Like, I don't remember exactly what the list was, but it was very specific things from each of her singles. And I remember us talking about a moment like this because stems for that are lost. So that may be the reason why she ends it a cappella, because they did not have the files to work with.
Interesting.
Wait a
Look
minute.
At that.
You just blew Breaking our minds.
News. We just got breaking news. They have lost the files.
Someone might have it in some vault somewhere, but no one could find it.
This is a podcast exclusive. Thanks to Chris. Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that was really cool to be a part of, because I could just, obviously I was listening to everything as I was pulling it as well. So it's also fun to hear a song just kind of pulled apart in that way. But I was so excited just to hear what Jason would come up with, and ended up being really cool, that medley.
I want to go back to what you were talking about originally with, you know, the night that she performs it on Idol, obviously, you know, it's 2016 and Twitter is, I mean, at this point, you know, Twitter is sort of at its apex. And so it becomes an avenue for people to react to things as they're happening on TV, in stadiums, et cetera. You guys are seeing the reactions that are coming through with the performance. When did you first sort of catch wind that this was going to be something and that, like you said, it was going to be all hands on deck?
Oh, I was getting emails and stuff immediately, pretty much.
So like Idol is, because this was like the last thing that Idol showed before they went off the air for the night. So it was within minutes of that performance?
Within hours, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah, we started getting emails. I wasn't working directly on it, so one of my colleagues was the one coordinating like the studio booking and everything. But I was just aware of it all happening because we knew it needed to be released immediately. So it really was just all anyone could talk about the next day or two.
And what was the actual turnaround time? Was it like less than a week or about a week?
I think it was less than that. So she recorded it the next day. I think we had like two versions maybe that we had mastered, and then they just chose one. And then with Spotify and everyone, it takes a couple days to kind of turn around. So I think it was released within a couple days, if I remember correctly. Actually,
there are two versions?
There's a lot in the vault. I have a lot of stuff I know about that I can't talk about on air, but I can tell you offline of things that I found.
Yeah, we're getting on another Zoom at another point, Chris. Can you tell us, was it somebody at the label that really said, hey, we need to tell Kelly that she needs to get into a studio and record this? Or did you guys hear from Kelly / Jason like, hey, we think we want to go in and record this? Like, how did that process happen?
No, my understanding is that A&R and marketing were immediately on it. Like, maybe management kind of were already had the same idea. I don't know. But I know that everyone on the RCA side was on it. Like, they were like, this needs to happen immediately.
I mean, it was an impressive turnaround to go into the studio, record it, and then have it to radio within, you know, roughly a week. And then it becomes this huge smash on radio and, you know, probably the biggest hit that she had since, I mean, the Stronger era, really.
Yeah, that's wild. Oh my God, what a story. Well, thank you for telling us that. We had not thought we were going to be getting the story when we thought of this episode. So that was, this has just been a nice bonus. So
yes.
Thanks, Chris.
So with that said, I don't know if you guys are avid listeners to the Kelly Clarkson Connection, but they have been recently, they've been sort of remarking the anniversary of the album. And Kelly just sort of slyly put in a production piece, somebody asking about the healed version of Piece by Piece. And they said, oh yeah, you know, people are telling me that we, you know, need to re-record it and we need to, you know, put that version down somewhere that we recorded in Vegas. And she says, without saying too much, I can say we're working on stuff. We're working on things. So clearly that is Kelly winking to the audience that they are going to re-record at least that particular song with the new lyrics that she came up with in Las Vegas. I want to get reaction from the room, but I want to start really quickly again with Chris, because I just, from a curiosity perspective, does Kelly need to work at all with RCA when it comes to this? Because this is obviously, this still falls under RCA owning the masters to this particular record. I understand that, you know, when it comes to, you know, the writers, I mean, Kelly's obviously the writer on the song along with Greg Kurstin and he produced it, but does RCA, are they going to have some kind of involvement if she decides to re-record?
No. So unless they use elements from the original master version, so if they use any of the piano or any of the elements from the original album version or radio mix, then they would need to get the rights to that from RCA. But if they re-record everything completely new, kind of like Taylor has been doing, right? They do not need RCA involved with that at all.
Wow.
Okay.
That's major.
All right. So Johnny, let's go to you. Thoughts on like them re-recording and putting out, you know, for the masses, this new healed version.
Real quick. Do you think Kelly and Jason had any idea that they were going to be doing that with the Idol performance? Like, do you think they there's a chance that this might go viral?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think you just really don't know in that moment. I mean, I don't even know that Kelly realized she was going to be that emotional, even just performing the song. I think it was a lot of really big things coming together all at the same time that made a really magical moment on TV, again, involving her and American Idol. So I think that it was just one of those things that you couldn't expect and it just happened.
I love that she had that moment for her and that everybody got to see it and cry along with her. My Facebook was flooded with people like, oh, girl killed it.
Everybody's was. Oh, yeah.
So about the version, I hope it's true that she records it after the whole Belasco fiasco of her not releasing the footage, man. I take everything she says with a grain of salt. I would love it if she recorded it, though. When I first heard it, I was on the live stream. My heart just, in the most beautiful way, just shattered because I was going to do something very similar, I guess. I hope it's true. I'm not going to hold my breath, but if she does. Also, Chris, when you say she re-records it, like, and they don't use RCA's production, can she, like, still use the same production, just, like, not theirs? Or does the song have to sound completely different?
Well, you have to remake everything. So as long as, you know, new people record all the instruments, like, even if it sounds very similar, it's fine. It just has to be brand new recording.
Gotcha.
David, your thoughts?
I'm here for it. I think it should have been done months ago. I remember when... So I was at the opening night in Vegas, but I think it happened somewhere in like the middle or the end or something. I was not there for when it, like, she did it live, but I remember watching like the live stream or whatever. And it felt like probably all of us felt this, that like as a fan, the world stood still, you know, as we were watching it and hearing it unfold. It was kind of like, wait, what?
And then I think we were all sitting there going, wondering if she was going to sing the lyrics as they were.
Yeah. And then like once she sang them the healed version, it was like, whoa. And like, quite frankly, I expected her to release it like a few days later. I mean, like just as much of like online, everybody went crazy. But yeah, I'm excited for it. I mean, she better. She has to.
Yeah. I was just watching it again for the millionth time. And every time that they show the angle where Jess is in the background crying. Mm. Oh my God, come on.
Yeah.
Well, see, I mean, she even said, like, Jesse even said, like, she didn't know that she was going to sing that. She didn't know. None of them knew it was coming.
No,
it
is apparently. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's a completely different song now.
Yeah. Apparently, Jason, I think, knew the song was going to be performed, but had absolutely no idea how the lyrics were going to be changed. And because I think Kelly changed the lyrics, like, right before the show. I think someone told us that.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is crazy to think about. I remember when we were at Belasco, there were these people behind us who were just very, like, average fan. They did not know much. I don't think they even knew it was like an album release show, whatever. They're like, when's Kelly singing Piece by Piece? And I'm like, this is April. I'm like, probably never again. Like, never. Because, like, I don't know. The lyrics are obviously, it's like how she's probably not going to sing Winter Dreams again. Or if she does, it's going to be changed in some capacity. But I'm glad I'm wrong. I'm glad that she was able to kind of like revamp it, remix it, whatever. And I hope that even what production they do to it is slightly different than the Idol version. Like, I don't want just like another straight piano. I hope they do something different. I don't know what that is because I'm not a producer, but I'm excited if this does happen.
Yeah. Let's move on to talking about sort of the era itself of the album. There were technically, we're not counting the Idol version of Piece by Piece, but there were technically three singles. Of course, we've got Heartbeat Song, which, you know, you can argue is the quote unquote big hit of the album. And then she puts out Invincible. Invincible is just kind of there. It, you know, it gets a video treatment, but there's not a lot of fanfare for the song. It doesn't really, it kind of stiffs out on radio. We get Piece by Piece, the album version, again, gets sent out to radio, stiffs almost immediately, and then we wait, you know, sort of radio gets to cleanse their palate, because the Piece by Piece album version gets released to radio in November, so they have a while.
Or was that before the dance version?
It was the radio mix, yeah.
Yeah, it was the radio mix.
Oh, okay.
So that goes out in November, because you were there for that by that point, right, Chris? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I guess, you know, when it comes to the singles, and Chris, I mean, I think I'm going to just purely direct this question for you. What is it like at a label when you have a single that goes out and it kind of doesn't get any traction? What's sort of what's the talk of the room, so to speak?
Unfortunately, there isn't much talk, which isn't great. Pretty much if kind of within the first couple weeks, there's not much happening. There's so many artists under that label that they're just going to move their efforts to something else. I'm going to be honest, like, again, I was in quite a junior position at the time. So a lot of this was just observation and me listening during these meetings, but there wasn't that much effort put in to even the initial Piece by Piece single release. Like, I think they just made the radio mix. They sent it out, nothing happened. And then no one said anything about it at all until the Idol situation happened.
Yeah. Which doesn't surprise me, considering that Invincible was not a major blowout at radio or MTV or anything, really. So I can understand where they probably would not be super enthusiastic about the third single going out. And then, of course, you know, thankfully, you know, I think the Idol version sort of pseudo saved the album, so that, and it did allow them to put out the second version of the deluxe. Chris, were you there when they decided, and this is just the little nugget I want to talk about with the remix album. Were you there when they decided to do that, or was that
Yes. So I was there for the whole kind of remix commission process.
I have one question, and why?
Well, the Idol version did well. There was some extra budget there. Remixes are cheap. It was an opportunity to put out something else and push the Idol version again.
And that's what they chose to spend their money on, was a remix. They didn't bother to like go back to the record and be like, hey, can we maybe, you know, now that we've gotten this traction off of the Idol version, maybe we can push another song. Maybe let's try to see if, you know, a Nostalgic or a Dance With Me or a
Second
In the
Wind
Blue or Second With Something.
Well, I think that, it was also like she was on maternity leave by that point. So it's kind of like, yeah, so what can we do without her promoting she's not doing anything? Any promo. So they also didn't want to spend that much money, right? So that's it's fair. Like,
okay.
Yeah, remixes. Okay. Remixes are a go-to when you have a little bit of money to spend.
All right, one last real quick round the room. I just want to get everyone's thoughts on the artwork for this particular era. I mean, thoughts on the album artwork for Piece by Piece. We'll start with you, David, since you had the most what appears to be visceral reaction.
It's not great. I mean, I get it for the name of the album. Like, you know, they did the whole puzzle piece thing too. And but I mean, like, if you really look at it compared to every other album cover, it really is at the very, very bottom. I mean, the color scheme, I mean, like the hairstyle, which I don't love either for that era. But I don't know. It's just, it's probably the worst of all of the album covers. It's very forgettable. I don't know. It's just not great.
Yeah. Johnny, your thoughts?
Yeah.
I agree with David about the hair. the shaved head. It's like, girl, what you doing? I think I'm in the minority. I personally don't mind the cover. I get it. I see why Kelly liked it a lot. You know, it's piece by piece. But my cousin did make a joke about it. He's a hardcore Kelly fan too. He goes, Did River Rose make that for an art project?
Oh man.
That's funny.
And
that's the thing that's unfortunate about it, because like the packaging, if you can ignore the album cover itself, the packaging is nice with the, you know, sort of the holographic look. The back with the design is really nice. The extras that they added with the deluxe, the presentation of the deluxe is nice. Everything except for the album cover for me is a home run. Everything else is great. It's the cover that just, yikes.
I would say it looks better in person than it does digitally, because at least in person, it kind of has like it kind of reflects the light kind of interestingly, and her eye stands out, or her five eyes stand out. But yeah, I think on a shelf, like, it doesn't do anything. Like, there's not eye catching at all.
Like, I like the inside eye. Oh, yeah. There you go. Much better than the actual album cover. Yeah. I think the kaleidoscope effect that they did was a very cool concept. There will always be one album cover that I despise more than this one, and that is the standard All I Ever Wanted album cover.
Oh.
It just looks like a terrible Photoshop kid picks design. I don't know. Whatever. We won't get into that. I love the album to death, but absolutely not. But yeah, it's like, this is like the second to last of my favorite. It's not the best. We've had better. I think we've learned that whenever a Kelly like has her like hands in her hair and she looks like she's screaming, it's going to be a good album cover.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's happened a lot.
Yes, it definitely has.
Yeah.
Chris, David, and Johnny, guys, thank you so much for spending some time with us and revisiting this album with us. You know, I was actually a little concerned that we were going to have a tough time.
Me too.
Talking about this record, but you know, I feel like we could go together another hour, but unfortunately we're up against time crunches. So I just want to say thank you so much to all three of you for being here. And we appreciate all three of you.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you for having us.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. We love it. Miss Into Podcast. This was my number one podcast last year.
Thanks, guys.
Actually, yeah.
And Chris, while we still have you, give a plug for your podcast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Yes. Head over to CCTV, the Nonstop Pop Show. We do talk about Kelly and other Western pop, but we also talk about K-pop. So yeah, come check us out.
Love that.
Head on. Guys, thank you so much. It was great to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
You too.
Awesome. Thank you.
Well, it was so nice to talk to all of those guys about the Piece by Piece album. And like I said, I could have kept going. I mean, there was just so much more that we could have covered. We didn't even get a chance to talk about the tour, really. I mean, I know that the tour is not the album, but the tour was still very much a part of the era, because a lot of people really, really loved that tour. But yet it comes off of the heels of an album that people are sort of meh on.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting juxtaposition of the two things together. But we hope you enjoyed the conversation about Piece by Piece. And of course, we want you to continue that conversation over on social media. And in fact, you can continue the conversation. If you are a Patreon member, you can go to our Patreon page and feel free to share your thoughts on this. And if you're not a member of our Patreon community yet, we would love it if you joined us. In fact, we've got four different levels that you can join at. Each are just as affordable as the next. And here's a great thing, Pam. I want to kind of get people excited about this. We would really love it if you would join our Patreon, because very soon we are going to be having a massive contest through only our Patreon that is probably the biggest prize package, both in amount of items and in total dollar value, that we have ever given away as a podcast.
Yeah, and there are some things on there that are like one of a kind or very, very rare gems. Some things that you and I don't have if we're giving away regardless.
Yes, so if you haven't signed up yet, sign up for our Patreon, because Patreon members have access to exclusive contests, and we would love for you to get a shot at winning that prize, which is details are coming on that in very soon on our Patreon page. Speaking of Patreon, want to shout out a couple of our Patreon supporters. Seth Basil, thank you so much, Seth, for your support, as well as Donald Lambert and our good friend and chat buddy, part of the group chat of Miss Into Podcast, one of our dear friends, Nicole Dewar. Thank you so much, Nicole, for being a supporter of the podcast and supporter of us. You mean the world to us.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. And so, yeah, for Patreon and for merch, go to missintopodcast.com. You'll find all the links there. Very easy to find. Yes, if you want to continue the conversation on social, we would love to hear your thoughts on the Piece by Piece album. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at Miss Into Podcast. If you listen on the Spotify app, you can leave a rating and also comment on this specific episode. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, please consider leaving us a rating and review. And we'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And have a great rest of your day. See ya.
We'll see you guys.
Thanks for listening to Miss Into Podcast. Miss Into Podcast was written and produced by Jeremy and Pam. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you'll be the first to know when a new podcast is posted. Find us and continue the conversation at Miss Into Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Find more at missintopodcast.com.